The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 17th of March, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It is St. Patrick's Day. I want to share with my cousins from the Bailey family in celebrating the life of one Mr. Patrick Bailey, posthumously. We say sleep in peace, uncle, sleep in peace, daddy, but today would have been Patrick Bailey's birthday, St. Patrick's Day. It's on a day like today where I miss C.A. Newry, for he recently discovered that he is 3% Irish. And so how are we going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day without the real Irish in the room? And St. Patrick's story is an interesting story. What's even more interesting is the story that sits beneath the story. Some people believe that the legend, the myth, the story of the leprechaun, right, is a tale, a cautionary tale, similar to Archie Chani's story, but that the leprechaun is a misrepresentation. There's a specific word for it where you demonize a thing or a group, a person or a group of people, right, by assigning it an anthropomorphic. Anyway, you see them leprechauns? Ireland was once inhabited by Africans. I think it's the Tiwa people. Pygmies, pygmy Africans. And so the legend is that they were run out of Ireland. We tell the story of St. Patrick and the snakes, and then of the leprechaun. Some people believe that these two stories are demonizations of Africans or whitifications of European Western pillage across the times. We've got lots to talk about this morning. I see I have a caller on the line right away. I am very intrigued. Caller, I come into you right now, but let me just put some of the questions I plan on asking today on the table. Should members of the Davis administration, quote, forego their visas if it meant saving more lives, close quotes? That's one of the questions I have on the table. Caller, I guess there is a delay. Caller, is coming to you right now. Anyway, I could get into the show. There's lots to talk about. Let's see what's happening. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah. I asked my boss today, right?
Yeah.
Because I found out 2 years ago that I'm actually 1/5 Irish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you know where I'm going with the story.
Yeah.
So I asked him, say, well, if I have the day off today, he said strongly, hell no.
Well, what happened? He don't appreciate culture and heritage, eh?
We don't really respect other people's holidays.
Or has St. Patrick's Day been, like, hijacked by capitalism? Because they're telling you go celebrate it at happy hour.
So I told him, right, that I also found out that I am actually part Jewish. So if the next upcoming Jewish holiday comes up, if I get that day off, he also said, I know.
Man, you could go to the law about that, you know.
You think so?
Yes, man. In our, Bill of Rights, you have these three rights that constitute like a freedom from and freedom of religion, right? So it's the the right to freedom of expression, the right to freedom of association, and the right to freedom of conscience, right? So you could believe what you want, you could associate with who you want, and you could express what you want. Now, those rights are limited. Like all of our rights are limited. There's this little mechanism in the Constitution that one government to discriminate, and the other mechanism says, listen, we're gonna have to restrict your rights for the sake of good governance, public health and safety, national security, right? And so, and then they have another one, very arbitrary, the public good, right? And so you have these rights, but they can be limited. But I would put the case forward. You may, though, have to show or prove a more than a belief, but a participation in a religious community.
So basically you're saying I have the day off today.
I mean, listen, don't tell your boss I tell you that.
All right.
And don't start drinking till the beer turns green on its own. And then you call your boss and say, boss, this is a St. Patrick's Day miracle, and I have to take time to reflect on it, because the last time the thing turned from white to red, Jesus was in the place and he may be nearby. I would try it, but I would be in my car outside my office when I try it. So I have to slip inside the back office. Let's say congratulations to Arav Balani and all of the students who participated in the Bahamas National Spelling Bee. Arav Balani, Lyford Key International School student, won the Bahamas Spelling Bee for the second time after 13 rounds when he correctly spelled the word diapason. During the break, I'm going to look up what diapason means. Okay, so there were two things I wanted to talk about this morning. I wanted to talk about the Bahamas government's response to the U.S.-Cuba visa restriction policy and its expansion. A number of Caribbean leaders are now on record with their responses to the United States of America and its policy. And I did a little research, gathered some of those, and here are the questions I wanted to ask. Should members of the Davis administration forego their visas if it meant saving more lives? Would any administration member or members gladly forego their visas? Would the economy collapse if it were a policy restricting visas for countries employing Haitian labor? Is the government's education loan scheme, where recipients agree to work in the government service, the same thing? Is the U.S. tax system, I think Americans working abroad get taxed 45%. I'm going to read an excerpt someone shared with me that I thought was very interesting and helpful. It says, here's an overview of how Cuba operates, which surprisingly parallels some aspects of the states. Cuba taxes those foreign workers' earned income at a rate of 75%, while the United States has a tax rate of around 40%. However, in Cuba, the government negotiates to have the host government cover housing, food, transportation, and other essential needs for workers who are sent abroad. This means that the workers retain 100% of their income. In contrast, the United States government provides no such support. Citizens are required to pay a tax rate of over 40%. In addition to that, they often pay Social Security contributions, that's equivalent to our NIB, of 15.2% on income earned globally. As a result, some Americans end up paying a cumulative tax rate that exceeds the 75% that Cuba collects. I got a text that says, what else is new, Aaron? Europeans been stealing from Africans and everyone else, even their stories. Last week when we were talking about it, the question arose, would we be assessing the Cuba global medical work global work program the same way if Cuba was not under a global embargo led by the United States of America? Would we be assessing their labor export program in the same way? Aaron, how come you didn't announce that UB now has a new president? Because I didn't see it in the news. Did UB announce that they have a new president? Are you sure they have a new president? I'm not jumping the gun. I ain't jumping the gun on that one. You know, that's like UB and their president. That's like a relationship, buddy. After they rehired that was caught plagiarizing, I stay out of grown folks' business. You let them. I'm only joking. This is a national issue. I have not seen an announcement from the University of the Bahamas that they have a new president. Is it Ian Strawn? Let me know if the new president is Ian Strawn. Then we could talk about it. Is it a Bahamian? Is it a Bahamian that we know? You know, then we could talk about it. Is there a line in the sand that can or should end our partnership with the U.S.? Is there anything that the U.S. could do to itself, to the rest of the world, to us? Is there anything that the U.S. could do that would or should end our relation, our partnership with the United States of America? Is the decision, right, whatever the decision it is, that we will forego participation in the Cuban labor export program, or we will continue participating in the program, whose decision is it? Is it the decision of the Bahamian people, or is it a decision of the current administration? Text came in, Aaron, please tell me why, as an alumni, my UB email has essentially been deactivated and I can no longer receive updates to know what's happening or attend events. They need to fix that. I got you. Dear UB alumna, would like to stay in touch. The general public would, to be honest with you, would like to like know what's happening at the University of the Bahamas in an accessible way. Lives around attending important events and discussions taking place at or being hosted by the University of the Bahamas. They have some really great stuff going on, but you rarely find out about it. I think the entire country needs I don't even want to call it a refresher, because you had to have done the course the first time for it to be a refresher course, a course in communications. We all need a course in communications. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. Should members of the Davis administration, quote, forego their visas if it meant saving more lives, close quote. Would any administration member, do you think any would gladly forego their visas? And then thirdly, are you willing to forego your U.S. visa to make a political point? The articles, if you follow in the discussion, U.S. visa risk over Cuban workers. Gonzalez hits back at U.S. visa threats over Cuban labor export program. Antigua's prime minister defends Cuban health brigade program. Trinidad's PM Keith Rowley rejects U.S. visa threats over Cuban medical missions. Caribbean leaders speak out on U.S. sanctions on Cuba's medical aid. Defiant Caribbean leaders dismiss trafficking accusations as U.S. targets Cuba's doctor diplomacy. p.m., the government will never engage in forced labor. Caribbean leaders oppose U.S. policy targeting Cuban medical missions, saying they're critical, and Bahamas is not engaged in forced labor. So here are some stats. Cuba has some 24,180 doctors working in 56 nations, with the missions boosting healthcare across the Caribbean, so across the globe. Kamina Johnson-Smith, Jamaica's foreign minister, said last week that the island has more than 400 Cuban doctors, nurses, biomedical engineers, and technicians. Gonzalez indicates that currently there are approximately 60. There are 60 dialysis patients that are being serviced through a program that would not be possible without the support of the Cuban Medical Brigade. Here is some insight from the Bahamas. First PM, the government will never engage in forced labor. Responding to the policy expansion, PM Davis declared that the Bahamas is not involved in any forced labor. Quote, the decision is based upon the fact that there is a belief that we are engaging in forced labor by hiring Cubans. Davis asked how the policy would impact the Bahamas. Quote, our laws, starting from our constitution, prohibits that kind of engagement. This government will never or intend to engage in any forced labor. It's against our laws, and we are a country of laws. We have indicated that we will review. We don't think we have done it. We are not doing it, but we will review where we are and get back to him in due course. Bahamas is not engaged in forced labor. The program has been vital for the Bahamas, especially in the wake of COVID-19, when many Bahamian healthcare workers took more lucrative jobs in the U.S. When asked how the policy will affect the Bahamas, PM Davis said, quote, first of all, the decision is based upon the fact that there is a belief that we are engaged in forced labor by hiring Cubans. Here we go. Mr. Mitchell said, government is considering the policy of the Americans, but the Bahamas believes that it follows all international best practices in the recruitment of... In 2023, 37 Cuban healthcare professionals were recruited to work in the Bahamas' healthcare system. In 2022, 50 Cuban nurses were recruited to work at PMH. And a number of Cuban workers have been hired, whether historically, in the teaching facility. So got some texts coming in. Forgo what, Aaron? As much as we like Walmart. Well, see, this is truly a difficult question, right? Because a political decision will override cultural sentiments, right? And dynamics. And so, can Bahamians extricate? Can we remove ourselves from America? Can we take America out of ourselves? Some people have family members. Some people have businesses. Some people have dual citizenship. Good morning. I doubt anything will be done concerning removing our pre-clearance, for example, let alone shut down the embassy. We pay them to be here. We especially pay millions of dollars to have pre-clearance here. It's not free. Oh, wow. Okay. Could they take the price up? Who does it benefit primarily is also another question. And go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you, Aaron C. Allen Johnston.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. You know, I think the juvenile approach that the government of the Bahamas, as well as many of the Caribbean leaders, are taking surely shows that we have no political strategy or geopolitical strategy individually or collectively for the region. We seem to have just been coasting. Mm-hmm. And this shows you that we did have no long-term thought or planning. And in this called situational awareness, I'd be disappointed if the Bahamian government or any other government in the Caribbean did not know at all what America does itself concerning their will.
Mm-hmm.
But the mere fact is that, you know, we're making bold statements, and beyond the bold statements, we see no strategy behind it. What is next? What is our diplomatic strategy in the short term, near term, long term, medium term? And we know that the world is changing more so in this region, with Cuba playing a central role as a surrogate type thing of environment. In the same way, we've been using Cuba as a surrogate
mm-hmm.
to solve our problem. Instead of working to solve our problem, we say, you know, we just use Cuba as a surrogate. But Cuba is, if you pay attention, you can see, we can say it's uncharted, difficult, whatever it is, right? Cuba with Russia, Cuba with China, and their location as the south border. You know, we like to collectively say the Caribbean is the southern border, but more so when you look exactly from the geography,
mm-hmm.
you can see where the Bahamas is situated, you can see where Cuba is situated. And so essentially, with the access that Cuba has given to Russia and to China, they could practically stand on the top of some building, on the top of their masthead, and see to the United States with a long view camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that this is not about those workers. This is about something bigger. And this is why I say I refer you back to January 16th or so, when the Chinese, person from the Chinese embassy, all demanded that the Bahamas become the final key in joining the Belt Road project.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, can we answer what is the benefit for us from that capacity, from joining them, when we are intrinsically attached to the United States for our import, little over 80% of our tourists, in the true aspect of our education system, in the support of our dollar, a whole lot of things. But this basically shows that we, as a country, have no strategy for national development, not less regional development or how we integrate. And so this, again, is showing a lack of failure. The question is, after we get over the linguistic contortionism concerning not knowing how we pay, the very person who personally flew Dr. Davo to Cuba and other people to negotiate and interview and do these people somehow has lost his memory as to what is the arrangements that he personally would have made. And so, you know, the key now is that we have to demand more from our leadership, not just for this thing, because this also forms as a distraction. There is an economic shift that is happening regionally, and we see it with the tariffs, we see it with the imposing of the shipping going into the United States with the Chinese built vehicles. What is the strategy for us as a nation, as this shift that is happening is not going to undo itself? And what's now, what's new, and what's next? And I think if we demand more from them to say, thank you, while you all sort that out, can you have a conversation with us, especially as we move into this election type thing? What is next? Are we divorcing our long-term marriage to the United States? And what is the strategy for this unentanglement that we have with them, basically for survival, as we put it?
Right. And is there a line in the sand that demarks or signals the ending of a relationship, right?
Yes.
And why can't our government say that to us? I mean, and more importantly, why is it our government who's deciding what the line is and not the Bahamian people?
And this is where the lack of the conversation is. But see, let me tell you where we allow this. Where we have people in New Providence, right? They're doing something in New Providence, and they're having a meeting for New Providence. And they say, oh, we're having something in Grand Bahama, the meeting's for Grand Bahama. Oh, we're doing something in Eleuthera, the meeting is for Eleuthera. But they're making a decision for the Bahamas, but telling you that this we will be consulting the people in Eleuthera when it should be with all Bahamians. And so this isn't interested people, or they have a word for it, where they say, we're talking to all of us now and stakeholders about this. This is about the economy of the Bahamas. And no matter what we think, we are a protectorate of the United States.
Madison.
Economically and otherwise.
No. I understand what it is that you're suggesting, right? I object to the word protectorate. That's it.
I'm using it because of the strength of it, because I'm simply saying is, if we stop and pause right now and remove the United States from the equation of the Bahamas, we would be less than 10% of who we are.
For a minute, until we build ourselves back up.
No, but see, you can't see proper prior planning prevents piss poor performances. I asked you, where's the proper
man,
prior planning?
No, I agree with you, but here's what I'm saying. You protect your assets. Don't worry about other people and them assets.
No, but
you protect your assets. Are we a U.S. asset?
We are. But see, the problem is this. The problem is that we keep thinking that the U.S. have friends. The U.S. have interests, and they always have. Whether they devoutly, covertly, or whatever expressed it, it is what it is. We are in a very good position to reject the U.S., you know. We just got to pack up the Bahamas and find a better location.
I mean, listen, I can go to some text. I thought you was about to say we need to pack up our feelings, practice spatial awareness, so we could truly and authentically understand where we are located on the planet, geopolitically. But then you're talking about we get pack up and catch a train somewhere else.
Our leadership doesn't understand our geopolitical position and the strength they have in this conversation. You know, independent of the Caribbean, you know, remember they say on the boats and the airline,
yeah,
put on your life vest first before you help someone else.
Yeah,
that's the position we are in today. We must decide where our life vest is, what our life vest is, and move to put that on, and then we could talk a conversation about how we save anybody else.
Thank you very much, C. Allen. Producer, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. I just hope you're trying to introduce yourself to what C. Allen was saying. I sent you a text, I'm very vexed, but as it relates to the geopolitical interests of the United States and our proximity to them, right? It's very nice, Ms. Green. If you really, an open line, if you really do a show on global agendas, you will find out that a lot of things I've been saying, the Philadelphia Trump has been saying, they're actually manifesting themselves. So C. Allen was correct in that United States, they don't have friends, they have interests.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of us are very naive. And so I've been following these things for 30-something years. Nobody can gaslight me. I've been saying for almost a decade now on the radio, begging people to go and read the NSSM study, right? Also known as the Kissinger Report. And it's known as NSSM 200, right? And 220, Third World Depopulation Agenda. And when you read it, it speaks about the national security interest. This is what America does. They do these geopolitical impositions as in the guise of their national security interests. And foreign policy, Nixon and Kissinger had a fallout because Kissinger was doing, he used the term like you can't have the wide receiver doing plays that the quarterback don't know about. And it actually is in the movie. It depicts the dissimilarity between Nixon and Kissinger.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that Kissinger had very atrocious foreign policies. He actually he talked good about Mao Zedong and a lot of different things that a lot of people don't really understand. So I'm just saying that these things exist. When you they talk about the Guyana, the food assistance for aid and how they impose some population control agenda on them, and if they wasn't supposed to go along the guidelines that they had panned out, then they would withdraw these food aids. It's all in there. So people say things for people to go and look it up. Geopolitical bandwagon, chronological history. They are naive in the way they think. That's all I'm saying. So we know they don't have friends. They have interests. And so the question for us is, what is our foreign policy? We have the PM on the radio. They always turn to the Constitution when it's convenient for them. But when you come at home locally, they feed us a bunch of contemptuous BS as it relates to the Constitution. That's all I have the right to say. Bless up.
Thank you. Man 52, you must know that I highlighted that phrase every time it came up in these articles. We are a country of laws. We have a constitution. Yes, we are a country of laws. Everybody knows of laws. We have a whole bunch of laws. I mean, not all the MPs know about the laws. They don't all know about them, but they know we have them. They don't know how to operate them, but they know we have them. We're going to talk about public disclosure in a second. Let me get through these texts. And I see there's a caller possibly coming through. Here we go. The University of the Bahamas just announced the conclusion of the presidential search. I see the text. I don't see the big news. I mean, big news be in the paper. Or maybe we don't really. Maybe in the break I can find it. Maybe we don't take academia that seriously. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, all right.
Good morning. Turn your radio down for me, please.
Yeah, let me turn this down right now. Sorry about that. Yeah, and your question.
Yes.
If we would
forego our visas.
Yeah, man, the politicians can forego their visas, right? Yeah, let's let them forego their visas because they ain't serving us no purpose. Them visas ain't working for us. Let's keep these Cuban doctors inside this country because they're benefiting this country.
Mm-hmm.
They're contributing in our leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Are contributing in my view because they're only five years celebrity, but the situation would they come in government and power and meet, there's the same situation where they just leave when they leave. So, yeah, man, let them
forego their visas.
Forfeit their visas and their family visas and leave everybody else alone, man, because our leaders are not safe. And that's why I believe the U.S. put that on them, you know, because the U.S. know they ain't safe in this country and the Bahamian people ain't going to have no problem with their leaders not being able to travel to America because our leaders are not serving us no purpose. They traveling and we ain't benefiting from nothing what they traveling to. Right? So, hey, take those visas for them Cuban doctors. Them would help in the Bahamian people. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I have a question here. Will the Davis administration travel budget increase or decrease if their U.S. visas are revoked? Will they finally rely on the technology that we regular people have to rely on to communicate with the world and do our business? Or will having to bypass the U.S. just increase an already exorbitant travel budget bill? I saw a little anecdotal thing, and I'm calling it anecdotal because it was posted like from a local social media site. And it said that Motley spent like $600,000 or something just under around $700,000 for travel in a number of years. And the Bahamian government spent $2.7 million on travel in just 6 months. Right? I mean, would it actually make their travel more expensive? Or will they finally have a reason to focus on bringing the best quality services, communication services are available in the country to everyone. To everybody, everywhere. All right, I'm going to read these texts quickly, and then we're going to go to public disclosures. Good morning. This Cuban doctor fiasco have absolutely nothing to do with forced labor or human trafficking. America never cared about any type of social issue worldwide. Just look at their history. What were they doing about apartheid in South Africa? Nothing. This have everything to do with the bully in the background. CARICOM nations stood as one in recognition of Palestine. Now these countries are being punished for their stance. Thus, this is all about Israel and its ongoing genocide in Gaza. Boy. Israel, the government. Israel, the people, it ain't all the people. And we got to make a distinction. Morning, Cuba is the world's leader in human rights violations. Why hire and exploit the poor Cuban people because their labor is cheap? That is wrong. America want Cuba to have free elections. Until they do, the embargo will remain. Regardless of everything Trump is doing is right for America. Tell C. Allen, shut up. His wisdom has no bounds. Text, I'm not going to use this space for you to share. However, watch this. You're not counting Guantanamo Bay. Like when you say Cuba's the world's leader in human rights violations, you're not counting because like imagine that Guantanamo Bay is American territory in Cuba. And then let's imagine the atrocities that took place within Guantanamo Bay under the control of the U.S. military. See, the danger of cultural imperialism is that you forget who you are. We have spent so much time watching Global North and American media that we are completely rooted in. We do not understand the extent to which the cops versus robbers, the good guys versus bad guys dynamic has been entrenched within us to the point where we practice a cognitive dissonance, and we continue to read modern and historic global politics like the comics, like your favorite Western movie, the good guys versus the bad guys. But it ain't quite as simple, because in the rendering, in the reading, you'll realize that both Cuba and the United States of America have a number of atrocious human rights violations. And then we'll turn and look at ourselves and say, they're Bahamas. Have we forgotten what we have done to others, to ourselves? This ain't no cops and robbers, this ain't no cowboys and Indians kind of vibe anymore. We need a savvier reading of what's happening around us. We go into a break. When we come back from the break, MPs reveal who filed disclosures. Aye for that. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the family app.
Viable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. You're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel Concert, March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit EverybodyWinsLive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
Spring is in the air, and so are the rewards. The Water and Sewage Corporation wants to thank you for staying on top of your bills. When you pay your bill in full, you'll be entered for a chance to win one of three Easter baskets filled with exciting surprises. For your due date, complete the entry form, and you'll be entered to win. Visit our social media pages for details. Hop to it and win with the Water and Sewage Corporation. Hurry, offer ends April 17th.
Darling, that I've ever met. And when you let me marry you, we will live happily. And we will raise a family. The girl for you, the boy for me. So would you let me marry you, darling, and be my loving bride? You are the sweetest darling that I ever met.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We are on 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio. Okay, I want to make this transition. Here's a text. It's my understanding that the Cuban government provides free tertiary education, so why wouldn't the government require its citizens to pay them when they receive work as a result of the free education? How is this forced labor? Well, it would be great to actually be able to look at, right, the details of the exported labor program as it concerns the Bahamas. Here's another question. A number of doctors and nurses are working in the eye care field, optometry, ophthalmology, and so how will this affect an already dysfunctional program? I'm not talking necessarily about the quality of the work. I'm talking about the time it takes to get an appointment. And let me tell you that I have heard anecdotally, right, but that there are people who are given appointments that are a year out. And by the time they get to the appointment, their eyesight is deteriorated to the point where it's irreparable instances. How will ordinary Bahamians be affected by this policy? Producer, let's go to the phone line quickly, and then we're going to transition to two other stories. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm good. I call in support of this U.S., the State Department, clampdown on the Bahamas and basically these Cubans. I'm not too familiar with the Cubans in terms of whether or not it's really the Cubans that they're really talking about. But the travel, the revoking visa, or this, any mention of this, I believe they're referring to the Bahamas, you know, because when you look at our travel, the PM's travel expenditure, that is insane. I've never seen anything like it in terms of just millions and millions of dollars of travel. I mean...
Okay, hold on. You saying that this visa restriction policy may be in an attempt to moderate the behavior of or compel the Bahamian government to moderate its travel expenses?
Yes, I honestly believe that.
No, man.
Aaron.
No. It's been C. Allen Johnson suggested that we are a protectorate, right? The U.S. doesn't operate like that. The U.S. is not going to impose a visa restriction policy about a Cuban labor export program in an attempt to chastise or moderate the behavior of the Bahamian government in terms of travel.
I know policy doesn't believe, Aaron. Let me tell you something. If you were to check the travel expenditure for leaders around this region, I don't think no country come close.
I mean, I referenced it. I referenced the anecdotal data I saw this weekend earlier at the top of the show. But if you were telling me U.S. report criticizes Bahamas' anti-corruption regime, right, that report may be an attempt to moderate, to chastise.
That's corruption. This travel, this bloated travel expenditure is corruption. We know this, Aaron.
But that's the point. Hold on. That's the point that I am making, that if you called me today and said this U.S. report criticizes Bahamas' anti-corruption regime, and they're trying to speak to the government about it, I would have entertained it. But I can't entertain the idea that the expansion of the Cuban visa restriction policy is specifically to moderate the spending habits of the Bahamian government.
Well, they know that this government loves to travel, Aaron, and that's the only thing perhaps would slow them down. But my point, But Aaron,
I'm
when
here.
You look at immigration, Aaron, I don't know if y'all in media is paying attention. But I believe, do we know how many persons were regularized over the last 4 years?
Man, we don't even know what they expect. Listen, hold on, pause 2 seconds. I really want to transition to something else. We don't even know what the expenditure was for the Golden Jubilee. But here's the point that I'm going to make. I'm not sure, and thank you very much for your call, I'm not sure that Bahamians are serious about the issues that they call the radio about, because calling and bringing awareness to the situation is just the first step. You actually have to act. You got to organize. You have to offer yourself to replace the people who you think are not doing a good job. That, you know, that's what you have to do. You can't sit here and suggest that you supporting the U.S. in this action, because the only way to moderate the behavior of Bahamian politicians is to let America do it. I mean, that's why I see. That's why I tell C. Allen, I don't like the word protectorate, because it feels like some of y'all actually believe that we are a part of the United States of America, or even worse, that we should be. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about, yeah, when Trump say his desire for Canada to be annexed as the 51st U.S. state and for Greenland to be sold to America, I wanted to ask, y'all not concerned about the absence of the Bahamas' name in this conversation? Like us being so close to them, done uttered a long time, man, before we buy Greenland, we gonna buy the Bahamas, because that's a small change. Like we can secure that first, then we can buy Greenland. I'm very concerned that he ain't said it yet. It suggests to me that he believes that they already own us, right? But that's an aside. Here's what I wanted to talk about. North Abaco bushfire destroys vacant club. Days after spending $10,000 on repairs for his vacant Abaco nightclub, Omar Bodie Watt, as the building burned down. The fire, which has been burning in the Treasure Key area for days, reportedly started last Monday near Treasure Key International Airport. Stick a pin right there. It hot. We ain't not even... Somebody said I was supposed to say that word on the radio today. I ain't gonna say it today. A fire near the international airport in Treasure Key burned for days, and the person lost their building, and y'all don't see a dire emergency? Anyway, MPs reveal who filed disclosures. FNM's met deadline, as PLPs also report on fulfilling the law. The Free National Movement said that all its parliamentarians met this year's deadline for filing financial disclosures under the Public Disclosure Act. Several Davis administration officials told the Tribune they filed their disclosures, including Chester Cooper. I'm not calling him Deputy Prime Minister. Chester Cooper, education, because MPs decline. MPs decline. I mean, declare. Not cabinet ministers, and not a fake, made-up pretend office. MPs declare. Chester Cooper, Glenys Hanna, Ginger Moxie, Wayne Monroe, Pia Glover-Roll, JoBeth Colby Davis, Mario Boleg, Miles LaRota, John Pinder, Leon Lundy, Michael Darvill, Doctor, Michael Alkidis. The Tribune could not reach many other elected officials. North Andrus and the Berry Islands MP Leonardo Lightborn said his declaration should be completed by tomorrow at the latest, attributing his delay to being on bed rest for a medical issue. Do you not know any accountants? LP not at this point, 3 years in, set up a special unit made up of party members and supporters to ensure that all MPs declare on time. FNM leader Michael Pintard has called for the Public Disclosures Committee Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper to be more transparent about who has complied with the law. Michael Pintard, you are a part of the commission. The leader of the opposition and the prime minister are members of the committee. This duplicitous engagement is hurtful, sir. Quote, let's go on. Bishop Cooper told the Tribune earlier this month that the committee's office may have been affected by mold. It may have been affected by mold. Let me show y'all something. If the declarations were supposed to be in by what, March 1st? Let's say they're supposed to be in by March 1st, and it's March 17th. Why did y'all send who knew it was moldy? Bishop Cooper told the Tribune earlier this month that the committee's office may have been affected by mold, which made the building inaccessible and delayed the processing of public officials' disclosures. Quote, we've had people who've been affected by mold. We're not going to have anybody else affected, he reiterated yesterday. Thank you, producer, for that music, because you know I'm about to call for Bishop Cooper to just resign. Resign and go on a very long vacation, because I can say this until my producer cut the mic. If the declarations are to be submitted by March, why did you allow the declarations to be submitted and sent to that building that you think has mold in it? Since you say further on in the article that you have been given space in the office of the Prime Minister, why weren't the declarations sent there? If the declarations, for the past declarations, are in the moldy office, why didn't y'all just work on this year's declarations that could have been sent to another office? And Michael Pintard, the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition, are a part of the committee. Why are you going to keep telling us that the committee needs to do its work? You need to do your work, sir. That's it. I mean, why would y'all allow the good Bishop Cooper to continue embarrassing himself like this? Why y'all don't let the person who has put added Fred Mitchell voice notes help him put together a statement? This is ridiculous, and it is about one of the most important offices and functions in the country, and it is why the United States of America could put out a report that U.S. report criticizes Bahamas' anti-corruption regime. That is why. Oh, producer, I wish I did know I had a little more time. I don't have any more time. U.S. report criticizes Bahamas' anti-corruption regime. We're going to get to that story later. This laughable. You want us to take governance more seriously than you take it? This is the most unserious, serious business I've ever seen. Ah, okay. Texas said, could you ask C. Allen to repeat his online forum discussing our dependence on Cuba? I will do. Thank you very much for informing me. Sorry I couldn't get to all the texts today. You guys, we're past the 11 o'clock hour. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next, so don't turn that dial.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.